Cooley. What's going on, guys? Sorry I was a little late.
Not at all. I said I wasn't going to do it, but I was regaling the guys with a story from an auction at the original steakhouse a couple years ago where Clinton Portis bid me up on your Pro Bowl jersey with Sean Taylor's number. Freaking killed me.
Yeah, but we're famous for bidding up charity auctions. So I like to do that. I like to do that about every charity auction I'm at is to mess with people. So it's fun. More money.
Chris, let me introduce you to the boys. We got Doug Ramey from FatPickle.com, who I know you know. We got Kevin Ewald from HogsHaven.com. And of course, I'm Ken Marangolo from HogsHaven.com. We appreciate you being on tonight. I know you're super, super busy with your OTAs and all the meetings I'm sure you're going to these days.
It's insane. It's insane how much we're spending time secret meeting and stuff, you know. I got a new tight ends coach this year, and it's like we have secret code names for everything, and spent like 6 hours today watching film. So it just makes me better.
Well, I'm gonna turn over the top of the questions to Doug. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Chris, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for coming on the show. I hope you were doing something fun for the last 15 minutes.
I'm doing something awesome right now, so don't worry about it.
Awesome. Hey, touching on just what he said, actually, with the CBA being up in the air, and you jokingly talked about what you were doing in the off season. Have you made any off season contingency plans for if the CBA doesn't get done? Are you talking with Rex? Are you talking with Donovan about getting together and working out and running some routes and trying to keep things crisp for when things do come back together?
It's funny. Christy and I were just talking about that the other day, my wife, and she said, you need to be the leader. You need to get all the guys together. She's been a Redskins fan forever, and, you know, when they had the strike back in 87, Theismann got everyone together, and they did all that. We haven't made any plans as a team as of now. I'm sure if there's still no CBA come May, when we would be into an OTA situation, we would start to get together and meet and throw and work out together. Really, the next couple months in terms of NFL offseason is just workout stuff. And guys can manage that on their own. So we'll see what happens over the next day or two. But it's kind of an insane deal.
It's definitely, I'm sure, weird for you, weird for the fans. With the week extension that they gave last week, can you actually not have any interaction with Redskin Park at all right now? Can you go into Redskin Park and work out?
No, it's an extended CBA, so I actually haven't been to the park. But the next day, our head athletic trainer gave me a call, and I said, what are you doing calling me? And he said, oh, the extension, I can call you. So through this week, we've been able to have contact. Again, there's not a tremendous amount of contact between coaches or people at the park in early March. But, yeah, it's still, we're still capable of that.
Very good. Chris, what's going on? This is Kevin. How's things going?
Kevin, hey, man.
I mean, now that you're back into blogging, I'm sure you're seeing all the crapola that came out of Vinny Strada's mouth this week. And, you know, I was just curious to get your take on his one quote that said, you know, I think in regards to Zorn, that after he went 6-2, Strada was saying, quote, I think ego got into play and then he stopped listening to coaches and became a celebrity. I was curious to know what your thoughts were on that.
In terms of Zorn thinking he was a celebrity?
Yeah, he basically said, I mean, Toronto basically made it seem like once you know, he got popular after that 6-2, that he wouldn't listen to other people around him, and then it just kind of all went downhill from there.
Sorry, because I knew that Vinny was on, and I listened to a bit of it, but I don't know, I wasn't into it enough to go back and podcast it or anything. But, no, Zorn didn't become a celebrity or a prima donna in any way. I don't know the actual relationship that he had with his staff and what they were telling him and what he was doing. I thought Zorn was a great guy, and he tried so hard. The little I can say is that from people that I've heard that have been around him after he was fired, he said to them that he wished he'd have kept a little bit of more of an open mind. So I don't think that he thinks he was a celebrity, but I think in hindsight, he would have kept an open mind to what he was doing and listened to a little bit more input from around him.
And another interesting quote that came out of that was where Serrato said that, you know, because Gibbs gave up the play calling. And when Chris Johnson, the producer for Mike Weiss' show, asked that, Serrato said it was, well, the media made such a big thing about it that Gibbs backed down and, you know, brought in Al Saunders. So we're like, wait, the media makes decisions on who makes plays to call us? And Serrato's like, that's how it was. You guys put that much pressure on them. I mean,
You have to understand, Joe, in terms of football, Joe is a perfectionist, and Joe truly cared about what Redskins fans thought and what people expected of him and what he could possibly do. I mean, saying that explicitly it was the media that made him stop play calling, I think is a bit far-fetched. But I do feel like he felt a lot of pressure surrounding him from every area, in terms of his capability to call plays. We were extremely simple under Joe as an offense, but I think a lot of guys liked it. A lot of guys knew where they fit, how they fit, and we were a playoff team. And, you know, we weren't exceptional as an offense. We weren't what Joe was in the 80s as an offense, and I know that was hard for him, but we were still a team that could score points, and we were – I don't know, I compare us now to like a Pittsburgh, where good defense and you're going to put up enough points to win. But, yeah, that was a surprise to everybody. I loved having Joe run the offense, but, again, Joe felt a lot of pressure from everywhere, and getting to know him more over his last couple of years, you could definitely see it.
Right.
Chris? Change it up just a little bit. The issue that you and your fellow players are dealing with a lot, it's the health and safety issue for players. I think a lot of our readers people forget that you were actually in one of the last legal wedge crews on special teams. When you came into the league, you were a wedge guy, but when the wedge was still legal.
Was a joke. That was an absolute joke. That being a part, I dreaded. Like, literally, as soon as the opposing team crossed the 50-yard line, I went into dread mode. I hated that so much. That's a brutal position. You know me, I'm not like a big – I mean, I'll hit somebody, but I'm not like a Mike Sellers. I actually hid behind Mike Sellers. Think about you're the wedge guy or you're the guy that's hitting the wedge. You're going to take like a 40-yard sprint and just bury your head into somebody? I mean, there's nothing safe about it. It's insane. It's legal assault, which a lot of football is, but this is really, I mean, I took some amazing hits on the wedge, and after I was never happier when I was off that. And I hate to say that because I love the game, but I hated the wedge.
Well, they've tried to legislate that out of the game, in the last few years. So my first question to you is what do you think is the next, kind of big thing like that, you think the NFL is going to legislate out of the game?
Well, it's getting tough because the next big thing was all the hits this year. And even as an offensive player and knowing lots of offensive players, players aren't for the whole fining deal with the hits. I mean, there were so many hits the guys got fined for this year that I thought, that's just football. And that guy's making a play. I can never imagine running with the ball and thinking, I'm not going to hit this guy this way, or I'm going to move my body because I don't want to hurt. I mean, football is football, and that's it is what it is. So I don't know if you can make a lot more moves without putting flags on.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris, Carson Palmer, before he's, you know, spouted off about, you know, retiring or playing somewhere else, he in a panel discussion, he said that he thought, you know, it was inevitable that somebody was going to die on the field, given the way the game is moving right now, given given the reality of the current NFL. And I was wondering if you agree with that, and, you know, what are your thoughts on that? That's obvious. That's a serious statement. Is that something that's a real, you know, real thought for you guys?
Yeah, it's no doubt a possibility. That it's a possibility at any time in sports. It's a possibility,
sure,
that guys are definitely willing to risk. I mean, guys are willing to risk it for the financial aspect of the game. Guys are willing to risk it because they love the game. And if the NFL does just continue in what they're doing without letting people hit defenseless players, if you're just murdering a defenseless player, I think you're fine, unless it's some freak accident. And that's part of the game. I'm willing to risk that I'm going to take a hit that will kill me. Obviously, I go out every Sunday. I love it. I play. I don't in any way, shape, or form think that will happen, but clearly I'm willing to risk it.
On a separate note, I think that Jordan Palmer has the best Joe Gibbs impersonation in the history of impersonations. It was on the Coley Zone for a brief minute, and then it was taken down. That was awesome. What was that like to be in the room when Jordan Palmer got his rookie hazing with the Joe Gibbs imitation?
Well, we did a whole rookie show that year, and it was unbelievable. I mean, literally off the wall. And I found the copy of the rookie show. So we were going to air the whole rookie show, which was out of this world. I've watched it. You know, a lot of people in my family have watched it. It's amazing. It's amazing. But Jordan Palmer was so off the cuff and so witty and could do so many different things. It was fun to be around him. He's a good dude. He was a good guy to play with. We would have been close friends if he'd have been here any longer than he was. But, yeah, his impersonation of Gibbs was priceless. There were so many. Guys, I cannot tell you how funny that was. If you're ever at the house, I'll show you the video.
Love to see that. I mean, and Palmer, didn't he invent some kind of website that you could go take a leak? He gives you points in the movie where it's a good point to take a leak or something like that, I think.
I don't know. I should know, but I don't.
Yeah, I have two quick follow-ups. Some things that you said, Chris. Again, this is Doug from Fat Pickled. As far as, like, when you went through the draft and Parcells, you started out in special teams, wedge blocker, and you had a great rookie season, but Bill Parcells actually told you, if I believe this to be correct, that you wouldn't be nothing more than a special teams player. Have you ever gotten a chance to, you know, tell Bill Parcells I told you so, or would you like to do that now?
I guess I can tell him and probably like Matt Williamson too. So
Matt Williamson.
My second season when I scored three touchdowns against them, it was so priceless for me. I mean, I just can't describe the feeling of looking at him on the sideline and the way he was upset. I mean, I never care to speak to him. I never care. I don't have a problem with him. I'm just saying it doesn't matter to me anymore. I did what I wanted to do in terms of being a successful player.
As far as Joe Gibbs and you talking about him having a simplified offense and calling the plays, do you think you guys would have been better in season 3 under Gibbs if he hadn't turned over the reins to Al Saunders, if Joe Gibbs would have continued calling plays in season 3 under Gibbs?
Well, I think something that I've always wanted to have is a consistency. We haven't had that here. I would assume that with a consistent system, we would be better. Granted, I loved Al's offense. I loved the system. It just didn't mesh. I mean, while Joe turned the plays over to Al, he didn't ultimately turn the play calling over to Al. Joe still called the run game. He still called runs when he wanted runs. It wasn't a very fluent system between the two of them, and it never was in the 2 years Al was here. So it's hard to say, looking back, if we'd have been a better team or if we'd have been a Super Bowl team. It's just you can hope, or you can think, but can't really say.
Chris, what's going on? It's Kevin again. You know, it was kind of a lot of Redskins fans were actually upset. I mean, just was that kind of an end of an era with Portis leaving. What's your best Clinton Portis story? And have you ever been to any of his parties at the stripper pole?
I've been to Clinton's house a few times. Not too many wild parties. I'm not like a super late guy, so not too many parties over there, but. Kyle, what a good person. Just the run we had in 05 going to the playoffs, and when he did all his characters, and when he was, I mean, he was so hot at the time. It was fun to be a part of that. It was fun to watch him play. Another moment I'll personally always remember is this last season. He hurt his groin, battled back. His explosiveness on the field in our offense when we played Tennessee for just the one quarter, just to show what a good back he was, how much vision he has, how he could run the ball was amazing. And unfortunately, only lasted really a quarter, but to see him out there and running our offense the way it should be run was impressive.
Yeah, he always seemed to kind of, like a lot of players do in Washington, is shut down around the media because the media is, you know, it's very dense in D.C. and it can be very harsh. What was he like? Was he very open when there wasn't media around?
Clinton is honestly one of the greatest dudes I've been around in the last few years. He was so funny. I mean, he was just so personable and so easy to get along with and so funny. I mean, he'd say things. He'd just come up with stuff out of nowhere, and you'd be like, how does this guy come up with this? I mean, he's just like so hilarious. So it was fun. It was a real pleasure to be around Clinton and play with him for the last 7 years.
Well, Chris, nice. I get the honor of asking you the last question as we come up to the end of the show here. And I don't know if you would call this issuing a challenge necessarily, but we know you're local. You've made your home in the area. What we want to know is, if this lockout thing extends, and let's pick a day, if it goes past a certain day, we want Hogs Haven, and we'll get Doug up here if we can, we want to get out and we want to work you out. We want to film working you out. We want to work you out kicking field goals. We want to work you out running patterns. We want to work you out doing line drills. When you see Kevin Ewald, all skin and bones, all 6'5" of them, you know, the guy weighs about 110 pounds, soaking wet, coming off the line of scrimmage. I want to zoom in and see the fear in your eyes.
I'll do that. You know that I will do that. I mean, it's not a challenge. I'll definitely do it. Especially if you guys just come out to my house and hang out. We'll have a couple beers first, and then we'll work out and see how it goes.
All right. Well, there you have it. That is a verbal contract, as they say in the business. But, Chris, thank you so much. You know, Redskins fans, we all love you. We appreciate what you do for us on Sundays and really around the 355 days a year. Thanks for being on with us. We hope we certainly wish you the best, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys thinking of me. So thanks a lot for having me on.
Have a good one, buddy.
I was going to say Chris probably has about an extra 5 minutes to plug everything that he's got going on with the sports buzz.
Yeah, we should sports buzz. We can do that in a write-up. Have you seen the Jordan Palmer video, Doug?
I was a devout follower of the Cooley Zone, and they actually posted that as a post, and I was one of the first ones to log on and watch it, and then about 10 or 15 minutes later, it was gone.
The Redskins were not happy about that.
Yeah.
Why?
It was gone.
We'd like to welcome
Larry Michael
back to the show.
Larry Michael was on the phone like 7 seconds later.
Really?
Well, it was just a private deal. It was just a private deal, and I thought all of it was harmless. But I wouldn't jeopardize anyone. I would never jeopardize any players, any coaches, anyone, in terms of me being a part of the media. And I thought it was totally harmless and hilarious. And I thought it only benefited the guys to show what kind of people they were. But they did not want it.
If you ever get a chance to see it, and Chris invited us to watch it, and evidently there's more to the video with the other guys, it is freaking hilarious. The mannerisms that Jordan Palmer did with Joe Gibbs, and it's priceless. It was totally money.
You gotta let us know when you come back, huh, Doug? I've personally spoke with the CEO of SportsBuzz, and he wants to do some things with us. And I ran this by Ken, and he was like, "There's no way Chris will ever do this." But I thought get a couple Redskins and go to a shooting range, shooting we'll have at the target. You push the paper back and have Cowboys the Cowboys star and see who can get the most in there.
I would definitely do that. That'd be a fun video.
I guess
right,
having one. Having one of Deion Sanders probably wouldn't fly, but.
No, you can't shoot at people. Well, Chris,
not real people.
Can.
I don't know if you get what shooting ranges are, but it's not real people.
No, I get it.
No.
It's like a
shotgun. It's not like. Yeah. So. Anyway.
Chris, tell us about what you're up to, man. Let our. I think my grandmother is listening. I think Doug's wife is listening. I mean, these people want to know what you're up to. You got anything you can plug or you want to plug?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been making a lot of pottery for the last year or so. That's kind of why I got away from the blog. So I opened a gallery in Leesburg. It's the Cooley Zone, or the Cooley Gallery, sorry. And I sell all my pots and a bunch of other my friends' pots and stuff, so that's pretty cool. And again, yeah, Tanner, my brother who did everything with my blog, he does sportsbuzz.com now, and it's a social networking site with a bunch of athletes that they're trying to build. It's actually pretty darn cool, so I'm doing that. And again, my blog's thecooleyzone.com. But that's kind of my stuff, man.
And fans
so,
I play football for the Redskins if you watch them, too. Usually, like, on CBS or Fox or one of those
we
channels.
We do watch, unfortunately, for our health a couple times last season. But so tomorrow's headline, Chris Cooley, pot dealer. Is this going to be a big deal for everybody?
Well, if anybody knows
gallery?
Anything, it'll be a good chuckle.
All right, well, now we actually are coming up on the hard break, so we'll let Chris go. Again, thanks for hanging out with us, Chris.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Take it easy.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take it easy.
All right, that was Chris Cooley, tight end for the Washington Redskins, and that was awesome. No offense to Philip Daniels and Robert Henson, two players I know Redskins fans love, but I mean, there's not very many bigger names than Chris Cooley the last couple of years, right, guys?
What why does the trade talk always come up with Chris Cooley when he's the most popular player and the only Pro Bowler we have on offense? Why in the hell would you want to trade your most popular player and the only offensive Pro Bowler that you have? Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I think it makes sense in other positions. Like, you look at what New England did. Like, Robert Seymour, one of the best in the position, that a huge spot. They trade him for a first. And, you know, I mean, the thing is, though, the values on tight end, they're just in a draft pick, are not there. So.